Forever Dog.
Hello.
Well, here we are. A lovely evening. Yeah, just the four of us. You and me and Olivia and our guest, who we'll get to.
Five of us if you count Andrew. I know. That's so rude.
The fourth person.
Just the five of us. Maybe even six if you're listening with a friend.
That's psycho to me.
I agree.
Podcast out loud feels.
I don't know what people's businesses are. True. Maybe they're sharing earbuds. Doesn't matter. It's an imaginary scenario. And we're sitting around the fire, cracking chestnuts, drinking tea, making eggnog.
None of these memories are mine. This is like winter.
I know. I just set a fire.
I think you got sidetracked by fire.
All right. Never mind the fire. We're splitting open a watermelon on the ground.
That feels worse.
Okay. Well,
Gallagher? What?
Okay. Well, if you want to set the scene, feel free.
I don't feel like we need to set a scene.
I honor
you and your decisions.
I just wanted to nestle people around the hearth. I don't know.
I do like the idea that like someone, like some couple in like the honeymoon phase is like sharing a set of AirPods on the train.
They look forward to this. Us. They look forward to the beginning where I set the scene, where I give the people an image. All right.
Okay.
New image. You're listening to our podcast, and it's just you, wherever you are. Hi, I'm Io.
And I'm Olivia.
And you're listening to an episode of Iconography, the podcast where Olivia and I talk celebs, we talk icons, we talk hit makers, and shit takers. I don't know.
I think that was good.
Oh, that felt good. Well, hey.
Hit makers, shit takers. Damn. I feel like we need a third one, but I think we can workshop it.
Okay, cool. The podcast where Olivia and I do that with Andrew by our side, even when sometimes I don't acknowledge him. And then when I do acknowledge him, he's like, why now?
Because you acknowledged me last time. And then my naked body.
Okay. Relax. I've got a career to keep, okay? The podcast where Andrew and I work through our troubled relationship. And Olivia watches.
And I hang out. Yeah.
And Olivia just chills.
I sit quietly like a good couples therapist and I say, you two, talk to each other. And then I butt in when I have to.
Okay, somebody watched the first season of Big Little Lies, but not the second. Because the second doesn't really have that aspect of couples therapy.
It doesn't. But you know what it does is the first 10 minutes of Marriage Story. Who is the... Oh, it's someone fun.
It's the woman.
No, it's the man. He's wearing rings. It's a man wearing rings at the beginning of Marriage Story.
Oh, the man. The man.
Whatever.
Well, you can Google it. You can look it up. Do some homework. Or a little puzzle. Can you remember the man who plays the marriage therapist in A Marriage Story? If you do without Googling, let us know and maybe we'll send you a prize or you'll receive the greatest prize of all.
A fave on Twitter.
Or just like having your memory improved a little.
Okay.
I think that's a prize. I think that's a prize, and I hope you agree. Listen, what this podcast is about, by now, I hope you already know.
Icons.
It's about icons.
It's about icons.
And Olivia and I talk about that with a very special guest who we'll get to in a moment. But before we get to that, Olivia and I talk about our icons of the week. We talk about the people who've just been sticking out to us, been making some shit shine throughout the week. And Olivia.
Yes.
Who is your icon of the week?
Okay. My icon of the week is one Miss Claire Saffitz of the BA Test Kitchen, of the Bon Appetit Test Kitchen.
I'm aware.
Are we up on the BA Test Kitchen?
I'm very aware.
Okay. I recently found this like treasure trove of teens on TikTok who are also obsessed with her.
Oh.
And they make little TikToks about, they're like, Claire, run me over in the street. And I'm like, me too. But, you know, after like a long day, I do love to unwind and watch Claire stress out about like making a Kit Kat or like tempering chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And it really like grounds me in a way that I find very soothing. And that's so I'd nice. Like to give a little shout out
that's
to
nice.
Miss Claire and her forelock.
Oh, that's nice.
One of the hottest traits a person can have.
Mm.
A little streak of white.
Yeah. Love like Stacey London of exactly. What Not to Wear.
Yeah, Stacey History. London. My mom has one.
My aunt Joan has one.
Wow.
And
that's kind of why we're friends.
That actually is yeah. why we're friends. And
that's so cool.
If you know someone, okay, challenge number two. If you know someone who's got a white
forelock?
A forelock in their hair, why is it called that? Do we know?
I assume because it's a lock at the fore of your head, you know?
Huh.
Like come to the fore.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right, challenge number three. If you know why this is called a forelock, come on. Come on. Get in
How
there.
How many challenges do you think we'll get to by the end of
seven!
This?
Seven.
Okay. Okay.
The episode with seven challenges.
Aya, who's your icon this week?
My icon this week also comes from the social media sphere. I might have talked about her before. Maybe I've just sort of gabbed about her on my Instagram story. I do that because she matters to me. This woman is... forerunner in the medical profession, and her name is Dr. Namark of at Dr. Namark Smiles.
Oh, she's is this one of your dentists?
She is the dentist I care about the most.
Okay.
She's the only one that I follow on my Rinsta.
Okay.
Because I follow about 12 to 15 on my Finsta.
Okay. Is it time for follow-ups or?
Really, in a second. I want to say I think she has a fantastic Instagram presence. She is a really good dentist. She does a lot of pro bono work. She cares about people. She's also gorgeous, that aside. She followed me back on Instagram. Sometimes we like each other's photos. She said she would come to a show in New York. She hasn't come to one yet. It's all right. I don't mind. I still respect her, and I think one day we could be friends.
Is it time?
And she also has really good taste in music. Sometimes mm-hmm. she'll post cleaning videos to, like, nice, fun little like new wave 80s songs. And sometimes I find new songs because of her cleaning videos.
Mm-hmm.
She's a calculus freak. Hashtag calculus freak.
Do dentists have to know calculus?
What? What do you mean?
Do dentists have to know
calculus? No, calculus is in the dentistry profession, the medical name for plaque buildup on teeth.
Okay.
And she cleans it.
Okay, so
with a high pressure, water-based,
questions, which is like
sort of device.
What kind of
she
content
hits it with a small stream of water,
posting?
And
it
will
this?
Clean that. Okay. Sometimes she'll post before and after videos mm-hmm. of teeth that she's, you know, performed various surgeries on. Calculus, she's clean. I'm mostly there because I am a calculus freak. I enjoy seeing these videos, and they have a sort of ASMR-like quality.
Yeah.
I was never someone who found themselves attracted to ASMR. I still find it very strange. I find it a little bit weird. It doesn't react.
Yeah,
my body doesn't
also,
react positively. Yes,
but you also do like the pimple popping shit.
I did have a very serious pimple popping phase. I think sort of in the same way that when people start doing like kink stuff, their threshold raises.
Sure.
I think my threshold has raised. Our guest does not look happy for
no,
me
I,
or with
I,
me.
Okay, I'm gonna wrap this up. But one,
what's up?
One thing is that someone recently told me that when you repost the like dentist shit to your story, that they wanted like a content warning beforehand because they thought it was gross.
Will you tell me who that was after?
Maybe.
Okay. Just so I can know.
Yeah, sure.
I will say more people have come with me than against me. More people have said, hey, thank you for sharing this with me.
Ew, okay.
Why are you saying ew?
I just think it's kind of
gross.
Don't
yuck someone's yum, man. And it's not even yum. It's like it's just like pure satisfaction.
Don't yuck someone's satisfaction?
Don't yuck someone's gum.
Ugh, okay, and on that note, we gotta introduce our guest.
I will say, she does a lot of pro bono work. She's like good for the culture.
The dentist?
Yeah.
I guess. I just don't. Okay, here's the actual thing is that I don't like a social media doctor.
She's not a social media doctor though. She's a real doctor who does.
I know,
no
but
work,
so
but
so are all
presence.
So are like a lot of doctors.
Nah, all those are fake.
Okay,
all sure. those yeah. all those are okay. fufu lame.
Okay,
and Dr. Daymark is a real one.
Okay, but there's definitely a ton of like, there's probably business coming in because she's social media famous.
She, no, I don't think so.
Okay,
I think she's pure of heart.
You.
I think she's pure of heart.
I don't think anyone who
she
is,
rescues
who
cats.
Is like prof- okay, who has a professional
and I guess
Instagram
on our side again.
Is pure of heart. Like who's like, I this is my trade and I'm gonna like show it to you on Instagram.
What are we doing?
I don't know. Are you, do you think you and I are pure of heart?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think we're pure of heart. You know who else is pure of heart?
Our guest.
Our guest. Yeah. I could talk about teeth for a while.
I know. We
but,
have to cut it off. We have to cut it off.
If you want to listen to more of this, check out my yes. podcast. Yeah, coming to Forever Dog Network. It's called IOS Teeth Time. IOS Teeth Time coming to Forever Dog. And if they don't pick it up, I'll go to whoever. I'll sell.
Or just do it like out,
yeah,
of, your,
Earwolf.
Out of your...
Yeah, I'll sell the Earwolf.
I think this is actually going to be like an indie pod and it's going to be on SoundCloud.
Nah, Earwolf's going to buy two of my teeth podcast.
Two?
Yeah.
We.
The other
Listen,
one, I interview dentists like Mark Maron.
What?
I interviewed dentists.
Oh, you?
Like,
I thought you meant like a dentist, like Mark Maron. I was like, that's not it.
Podcast is finished
who
because
guys?
I'm sick.
Asking dentists, like, who's inspired you?
Is that your Mark Maron?
Yeah, he's like, just shit my pants.
Well, you know who hasn't shit her pants? Our guest.
We keep
How
trying.
Do you know?
Yeah.
You know who may or may not have shit her pants? Our guest. An incredible writer, a star of the screen if you've got a phone and you're looking at it. Just one of the dang best and someone who I've made go out to drinks with me because I want to hang out with her more and more. She's so smart, so funny. It's Nomi Fry.
Hey, everyone. Hey. Thank you for having me.
Nomi, what do you think about dentists on Instagram?
You know what? When Io said that Dr. Neymark, a Dr. Neymark smiles, rescues cats.
Yes.
That's when my interest was piqued.
Okay, yes. But it's not about the dentistry. It's about the cats in that
There
situation.
You go.
Okay.
But it's like about
So you're
her.
Pro someone
I'm
rescuing
pro cats.
Cats. That's great. Of course.
And she has very good taste in fashion.
I'm
I think
intrigued.
She's a great person.
I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I think she's cool.
I'm ready to check her out.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I also feel like we didn't address the fact that there are 15 others on the Finsta.
Well, you have to address it. That's my business.
Okay.
Some of them are better than others.
Are they like sort of fake Hollywood doctors?
I don't know. I don't like those.
It's not like a Dr. Miami for teeth?
Mm-mm.
It's not like Dr. Diamond.
No.
Or Dr. Orion.
Not that
they're fake.
Not that they're fake. The
they're
closest
very
guy
real.
That I follow that's like that is this guy who I think if I'm remembering it properly, his name is Dr. Saleh, and he's a doctor who's based in London, and he does a lot of like prosthetic work and like, you know, helping people get like their perfect smile. And that's just like, I guess that's something that's like if I just need like a quick visual hit. But a lot of people that I follow,
a little pick me up, if you will.
Yes, exactly. Sure. Exactly. Sort of like, you know, you get like a before after, I
love
don't know,
that.
I'm like a pottery Instagram for all my normies or whatever. But a lot of the ones that I follow, Dr. Neymar, I think is like, she's like true, she's like neutral. She's like lawful good, but also
okay.
neutral good, but also true neutral, right?
Okay. So
that's what she is.
Okay.
Then all the other accounts I follow are, there's something chaotic, there's something dark, and it's a lot of doctors who are just fixing really fucked up teeth.
Doctors and, okay. who fix.
Yeah, they're fixing, and it's like, and that's like sort of dark. And some of those
okay.
accounts, I'm also like, this is too much for me.
Got it.
Because they're also teaching accounts. They're accounts that a lot of like other dentists are following. I have gotten in.
You're
deep.
In the community.
Yes,
now.
I
okay.
am. Well,
you're
so
like
I have thought about making a third Instagram account and like, no, and just like, because sometimes I want to comment, but like I can't.
What would you comment?
Like, sometimes they ask questions, I would answer a question, I would ask a question back, or whatever.
Would you post, or is it comments only?
I would still say private. I would just mostly
yeah.
use it for commenting.
Can you see a comment if someone's private? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to be part of the tooth community.
Yeah, but
much like I want to be part of the comedy community.
And in that way, yes, yeah, where you are way. Like, you know that it's sick, you know that it's wrong, you know that, it, you know, but you want to...
It's like
you,
a fucked up smile.
You just... Okay, folks, wow. And she's got she's the analogies writer. On deck. Nomi?
Yes?
Well, in many ways you are an icon to me, but we're not here to talk about you. We're here to talk about your icon.
Oh, yes.
So, do you want to tell us who your icon is?
I have many icons, and when you asked me...
We went through it a little.
We went through it a little.
Who was on the list?
Well, I would say that it's just, like, a list of sort of, like, slightly problematic men, probably, is my preference.
But that's... There is a joy to that, I will say.
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to tell you, but I am still happy, ultimately, with your choice, who I think is still a slightly problematic
No,
man.
It's the... Right. It's like the sort of... It's probably in my own life, it's kind of like the example from which everybody... flowed.
Yes. Some of the
streams.
Ooh.
So it's like the headwaters.
The headwater.
Yes. And then
yeah.
Flow out.
Well, some of the men on the short list and in the streams, do you think they had he was the point of origin?
Yeah, probably. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's kind of interesting to think about it that way.
I kind of want to say, I think I told you maybe, or did I?
What?
Olivia, some of the guys.
You told me the one you were campaigning for.
Yes, I was campaigning for John Mayer.
Yeah.
Eventually, listen, someone will come on
someone
one day
will.
And we'll get to gab about John Mayer.
Yeah, we'll talk napalm.
For hours.
Always talk about John, but John is...
He's a mutual.
Dare I say, he's a friend now.
Yeah.
And so I
you can't true. Talk.
I feel
you can't talk friends on the pod.
I can't, you know, there's no friends on the pod.
No.
Honestly.
It's all business.
And it's all business. And I feel like I can't be as free as I used to, let's say, before me and John, you know, developed our relationship.
Even to a certain extent, a building relationship with another guy I was mentally campaigning for, Diplo.
I know, but Diplo has been kind of ignoring me.
Okay, so like, let's dive into that sentence, maybe. what's up?
Well, you know, I've really wanted some recognition from Diplo, and it hasn't been forthcoming, and I just can't. I don't know why.
I feel like
why
there have
that
been
would
a
be.
Lot of like, there have been a lot of close calls as well with Wes.
Yeah. I've had friends like texting me from parties saying like Wes is here and sending me pictures, and I would be like kicking myself, why am I not in like, you know, a random mansion in Beverly Hills right now, and
I mean,
he's like arriving with Noah Cyrus. Like, where am I in this matrix?
Where am I?
Yeah. He followed me on Twitter, but then I realized that actually he doesn't run his own Twitter.
Oh, most of them don't.
So that was like a real situation of like, you know, I it was like I was kissing God.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I came back to, you know, I landed.
Yeah.
Back.
Couldn't go back.
On the, you know, hard ground of reality. So that wasn't easy for me.
Do you think he runs his Instagram?
I think he does. Yes, but yeah.
There's no follow back on Insta.
Yeah. It's really hard.
It's all right.
It's really hard.
You got John. I mean,
it's
that's,
true.
You know,
and that's the
that
most
seems
important
like enough
thing.
For a lifetime.
Honestly, it's true. I don't know why I'm getting greedy. It's not, it's unseemly.
You do have a wealth.
I do have a wealth.
You do have a wealth.
Yeah.
Is what I'll say.
It's true.
We know this.
Yeah.
We know this.
So it could have been John Mayer. Who are some other options you had?
Who did we think about? I was like Diplo,
one
Sean.
One of the guys you said was Hunter Biden.
Yeah, that's true. I did say Hunter Biden. And
hold
I did
I
say
have, like,
Hunter
pushed
Biden.
My phone away, and you were like, what did I say? Hello? And I was like, I just needed a moment.
Oh my God.
Yeah, wow. I did say Hunter Biden. I just read on page 6 just an hour ago.
I mean, the situation with him.
That Hunter has acknowledged his
The illegitimate
child from Arkansas, I think it's a girl, the daughter of a stripper. He had made love with.
Oh, that's better, yeah.
And he at first denied. Classic Hunter. He denied that he was the father, but then a DNA test reveals that in fact he was the father.
And he has always loved his child.
I could have told him that.
In many ways,
he's incredibly fertile.
He is the Drake of politics.
Yeah, he wasn't
I said that as a joke, but I think about it more, and that is
it's interesting.
Really true.
He's got a kooky dad.
He's got a crazy dad who'd do anything for him, but actually nothing at all.
Right. The dad is like sort of embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's just like impregnating women and being.
And he
it's
has
not,
a,
it's not
a Jewish mother. He doesn't.
He's getting into like weird fake beef, and he's ending up on the wrong side of it. Okay, Hunter Biden is Drake. Olivia's not totally on board, but I need to
figure out how like impeachment comes into play. You know? Like in the Drake analogy,
like Trump is Kanye. I don't know.
Who's Rihanna in this?
Me.
Right. So Hunter, he finally acknowledged in a last minute, like it was, I might have the details wrong, but it was supposed to, he was like called to court or something, and then the last minute he was like, okay, I'm gonna pay her.
He's like, I'm not going to
child
court
support
in Arkansas. I will just pay the child support.
Meanwhile, his wife of like whatever, 6 months or something, is heavily pregnant with another child.
Very pregnant.
Yeah.
He's just fertile. That's not his
fault. The beautiful Melissa Cohen, I believe her name is.
Isn't Biden also very fertile? Doesn't he have like a lot?
Yeah. But there's also like a lot of...
Well, of course.
Yeah. Troubled man. We love a troubled man.
Speaking of troubled men.
Also on the short list, I do just want to say it before, even though I loved that segue, Jax.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jax is another one I thought about. It's true. Another fertile man.
Jax from Vanderpump Rules.
I mean,
Rules,
immediately,
if you're not familiar.
An icon.
I mean, he just can't like, keep it in his pants.
Oh, I love him so much.
I think about the video of him fighting in, is it Ibiza? I think about that video a lot.
In Ibiza? You mean when he tore off his chunky sweater?
No, that's in Vegas.
That's in Vegas. Yeah. Oh, do you know what?
It's at Stassi's birthday in Vegas, and
okay.
He was not invited.
No. It's not that. Okay, this is crazy. Well, now this is bad. There was a video of a while of a bunch of men fighting in Ibiza.
Yes.
And people were like, is that Jax from Vanderpump Rules? And everybody was like, yeah, it is. It just has to be. And it was really funny.
And was it?
No. It was
just a
big
man.
Bare man. Yes.
I feel like Ibiza is too far afield for Jax.
No, it there's no reason
it's off the beaten path
be
for
invited
him.
There
I don't think
all.
Jax like goes international really.
No, Jax is domestic. Right. He's probably not allowed out of the country if you think about it.
Well, Hawaii is the country, I guess, but like when he traveled to the tropical paradise of Hawaii and he stole sunglasses at Sunglasses Hut.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And was arrested. A beautiful time in every young girl's life.
When Jax was first arrested.
Do you guys think Jax is hot?
People are saying he's hot again.
Okay, I have to say something.
Yes.
So on the face of it, my answer to is he hot is no.
Okay.
But.
I don't want to brag, but I've seen Jax a couple times in real life.
That's a hard brag.
I mean, that's true glamour.
This
right
is
there.
More of the wealth that she has.
Oh, I know.
I know.
Oh, I know.
When I saw him the first time, it became clear to me. I was like, I can see why this man is attractive.
Okay, can I say something?
Yes.
I have seen Brittany in real life.
Oh, okay.
And Brittany, I think, is also very surprising. Like she's
hotter in person.
Yeah, and I think there's also
they're all
something
really hot in person.
But there's also something
say.
About Britney where it's like her face is like fairly natural.
Yeah.
And like
fairly is the operative word.
But of those girls, like the most natural. And you're
well,
like,
she joined at a later season.
Yes.
So that's a secret.
Yeah.
Like give her a couple more years, and
oh,
she's
and
gonna
be
like
be different.
Yeah.
But right now.
Right.
And when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, like she is.
She's a simple girl from Kentucky.
And she's like that girl who you went to school with. You were like, wow, you're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Right.
She really does have like.
Like a pageant
most
girl
beautiful
kind
girl
of.
Yeah. High school
yes.
energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then she goes to L.A. and it's like.
Ah. Yes. Speaking of going to L.A. and being like, ah, I think that's.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah. That lines up.
Know me.
Yes.
Who is your icon?
Okay, so I decided after thinking about it long and hard.
Yes.
That ultimately the man who ties everything together for me, who was the first, the most memorable
yes.
icon
yes.
of my life is Mr. Jim Morrison.
The man who ties everything together. Yeah, just the man who ties everything
yeah,
together.
Yeah, you know, that's just, yeah, that's what they call him.
Just the man who ties everything together. No, I mean, when was the first moment that you were like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
This is the guy.
Okay. I remember distinctly when I first became familiar with Jim Morrison. I believe I was six. Hmm. I grew up in Israel, but we would go, because of my dad's job, we would go and spend summers often in America. And we would always rent these whatever houses or apartments mm-hmm. of like whatever academics who were away for the summer, like whatever. So we rented this house and it was a family who was away. And I think they had like we never met them, but I think it was like two teenage girls. One of the teenage girls in her bedroom, and I think it was the bedroom that my older sister slept in, she had a poster on the wall of Jim Morrison. And it was a poster where he was wearing aviator sunglasses. He wasn't like, he was dressed. It wasn't one of those pictures where he like didn't have his shirt on.
Yeah, I was wondering like if one it of was the like classic a leather. Pictures. Yeah.
It wasn't. He was wearing leather pants. I think it was like, in retrospect, I think it was like a shoot for Rolling Stone or something. I mean, like years later. Mm-hmm. It's like pretty famous pictures. He's wearing like this yeah. denim shirt, like sunglasses. I think there's a dog in the picture maybe. And he has that, he does have that necklace, I believe, that he wears sometimes in the shirtless pictures. Mm-hmm. And my family was kind of pretty, like, I wouldn't say uptight, but, like, definitely, like, a chain on a man was something that was, like, in my six-year-old brain, I was yeah. like, okay, this is something... Yes. This is something different. And it's like maybe wrong. Maybe it's sort of like vulgar. Like I sense something like sexual about it, yeah, even though yeah. I didn't really know
what exactly what that meant, was. Or,
but
yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Right. It's also funny to think of, I don't know, like that age, like being confronted with sexual things. I feel like I was also the type of kid who was like, not every kid is like this, but I was the type who was like, oh, well, there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would be like, okay, this is like,
yeah, I can't look. I was like, I like confused it with fairy tales. So I was like, oh, I am feeling something like romantic. I like yeah. knew to like link the two. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm yeah. gonna marry him. Like
right.
That's it. That's what we're gonna do. And actually I was just like a horny child.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
I think I never thought the marriage thing. It's funny because
that's very you. Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching, so as I don't know, I have an 8-year-old and I
Xerox.
And I watched the first Justin Bieber documentary, Never Say Never.
I've seen it.
We're scholars.
A couple of days ago. I had never seen it and I was actually watching
it. Did you see it in theaters, Olivia?
Did I? I might have.
I feel like it was 3D.
It was 3D.
Which is like
yes,
weird.
Yes, I did see it in theaters. I remember it. Yeah. Yes.
Which
I
is did. Like weird because like what would be, I guess, well, the
when
show,
he, like,
the
dances,
concerts.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
the
like
concert
the concert
footage.
Part is
right.
like 3D.
Right.
There was a big push, I feel like, in the like early, like the early aughts, like mid, no, late aughts. Late aughts, early tens of yeah. like, hey, this is music, and now it's in 3D. Like,
was the Katy Perry doc in 3D?
In 3D, this is it. Was in 3D.
The One Direction one was not.
The Glee concert movie was also in 3D.
The Glee concert movie was also in 3D. Says Andrew, this is law.
They did a Glee concert movie.
So
of course you were the only one in theaters. Of course you were. God, a prison. That
what
time.
Year was it? And like, who was in it?
That's the year. That's the Bieber year. That's Never Say Never.
So that's yeah. why everyone was in Never Say Never.
Right. It was like let's like take a like piggyback on this. It's which is also interesting to think about. Kind of, oh, we're gonna give like sort of horny, repressed-ish tweens. Like, he's going to come into the theater, you know? But anyway, we were watching it, and I think, and I feel like Nina has Bieber fever now. I gave her Bieber fever.
I mean, no.
Yeah.
It happens.
I've had it for years.
And my friend is like, I was telling my friend that we were watching it, and I was like, I think Nina has Bieber fever. And he's like, don't tell her what happened after.
Like,
don't because
spoil
she's like,
it.
Mama, I wanna see videos from now. Like, what does he look like now? And I was like, never mind.
No, only then, Nina. Yeah, this rollout I'm a little bit worried about, but yeah, we'll make it work.
But anyway, so the point I was saying is that a lot of the girls, as you guys probably remember in the movie, it's like all like screaming girls in the audience, like, and they're all like, I want to marry him. And I was thinking when I was watching it, I never really felt that. But I also didn't feel like, oh, I want to make love to him. Like, that didn't occur to me either, but I think what I was saying before is true. Like, I was like, okay, something here is wrong. I'm like ashamed.
Mm-hmm. yes.
I'm feeling ashamed, and I don't know, but it's interesting.
Yes.
And my entire life has been an attempt to contend with these feelings.
Wow.
Cut to, like, 40 years later.
And you're talking about
and I'm
on a
talking
podcast. And that
about
is sort of
Jim.
And that
Jim,
is what is
Mr.,
wrong.
Mr. Mojo Rising. James Douglas Morrison, the Lizard King.
I have a question, which is, so you like, you see the poster. Where did we go?
Okay,
from
so
there?
I see the poster, so I know who he is. And I also have an older sister, so like I know stuff from her, and I kind of am aware. And this was just, this was the 80s, so it wasn't actually, in retrospect, it wasn't that long after he died. It was like maybe like 15 years after he died or something. Mm-hmm. Like, he died in the early 70s, 1971. So it seemed then that he had been dead like a trillion years. Yeah, the 27 Club, exactly. But in fact, he had died like the decade before, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Mm. But then cut to me being like, 14 or something, 13, 14, and starting to get interested in like the rebellious rock music of the 1960s. Mm. And
that happened to me too.
and then I just started. I had like a tape, so as you know, I'm like twice your age, so I had like a tape. We listened to tapes, you know what tapes are,
yes,
right?
A cassette.
I liked a variety of music, of course, but yeah, one of my favorite bands became The Doors, and then I was overtly, it was like, this was the point where, like, you sort of try when you're a teenager to sort of let go of that shame and be like, yes, I'm a woman, you know?
Yeah.
But in fact, you're like, what the fuck is going on? And you're like still totally repressed and confused, and it's like very weird. So that was part of like my attempt, I think, like embracing The Doors. Even though I kind of still felt like residual embarrassment, like I was embarrassed that like my parents knew I was interested in, because it was like kind of overtly sexual in a kind of like very, in a retrospect, like dorky, like embarrassing way, like over dramatic, sort of like theatrical, but very overt, like leather pants, and no shirt. Like, what could be more?
Like, that's like sex.
That's like sex. Yeah. Like, what is sex
if not leather pants and a chain?
I mean, that's how you have sex.
Yeah.
You put on leather pants, you take off your shirt, you put on a chain,
and then that's it.
And you don't even need two people.
No.
It's just like a person sitting in a room.
Yeah.
So then I became like, I really love The Doors, and I listened to them all the time. This dovetailed with the release of Oliver Stone's movie, The Doors.
Oh, yes. Okay, very familiar.
Great.
Very familiar.
Okay, which I actually a couple years ago, I caught it on TV or something, and it's like the worst movie in the history of movies. It's like, but I was living in America when that movie came out. This was like 1991, I believe.
Yes.
I saw it on...
the research. Comes up later.
I saw it on opening weekend. I remember what I wore.
What were you wearing?
To the show. I wore jeans. I believe I wore my my Birkenstocks.
You gotta.
Yeah. And it was like this, I don't know, this this woven Guatemalan thing.
Oh, no. Oh, maybe.
Talk about cultural appropriation.
Let's talk about the times. Let's just talk
about
the times.
I mean, it was a time. Yeah. It was a real time.
How old were you?
I was 15.
Okay.
What's yeah. Is there jewelry on?
Maybe like a beaded, like something that I would maybe still wear now. Like nothing, like the necklace. Like nothing horrible.
Not woven Guatemalan.
I mean, nothing.
Not a shawl, not a cape, but a thing.
No, I was a cute, I mean, some of the clothes I wore, I still wore like Converse All-Stars. I still have some of the clothes I had. Nice. Like Bart Simpson's
Bodes
t-shirts.
Bodes well, okay.
Yeah. So I went to the movie and my mind was blown. Val Kilmer is Jim Morrison.
He kind of peak Val Kilmer. Too.
Absolutely peak Val Kilmer.
Like a little bit after Top Gun, like we're rocking and rolling.
I have a very like distinct memory of seeing that movie. I had one aunt who had like premium cable, and so like it would sometimes like be on.
It's a huge
replay,
like premium cable movie,
and it would sometimes be on replay, and I would like catch little glimpses of it.
That's also sex, by the way.
Yes, catching little glimpses of a movie and finishing a movie,
piecing it together.
Like I'm like it's like I don't know. I'm a detective with a very very complicated board full of string, and also I'm like horny for like 20 minutes at a time while my aunt is leaving me unattended. But I remember seeing it and being like, whoa, okay, this is something. And then like on the school computer the next day, like Googling Val Kilmer and being so disappointed.
Okay, but peak like Val Kilmer is like hot.
The way he is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was hot. He had the broad like, muscular face.
And like blonde.
Yes.
Yeah. Like,
no, the eyes are
piercing.
The eyes and the mouth. They're doing a thing. But you know, I'm an investigative journalist in some way. So
sure.
I'm like Val Kilmer 2006, like Val Kilmer now. And I'm like, and I'm
and
heartbroken.
It's, you know, it melted. He melted
a
little bit.
Yeah, he melted.
Okay.
Guys, it's called getting older.
No,
I've never heard of it.
I don't know. I won't probably.
He's rich. Like old people, you know. Whenever it's like Gwyneth Paltrow at 50, how did she do it? It's like she's rich. Is Val Kilmer not hot rich?
Well, I think guys are different because like they like
spend money on hookers.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Hunter Biden, are you listening? And he is listening to our podcast. But I think I don't know, like drinking and also just like the. They probably also people are still telling them that they're hot as they're aging because that's how like
I think it's actually like they can still get laid so they don't actually care.
And
that's why Leo looks like that.
That is why Leo looks like that. But even like features shift and stuff, like people's noses get wider and their ears get bigger. That just happens.
You ever watch like an old Pacino movie and be like, what? Who?
What? He really was something. And then and then his face just started shifting.
He is dating an Israeli actress, I just found out, which it was a great day for the Jews.
How old?
Well, she's like my, I remember her like from growing up in it. She's like my, she's like in her early 40s.
Oh.
And suddenly I hadn't heard of her in like 15 years, you know? And then suddenly there's like pictures from like whatever festival or something, like the Irishman premiere. Uh-huh. And it's like Al Pacino with his, you know, like 70-year younger girlfriend. Like
Al Pacino, you know. 120 years old.
And I was like, wow, like, good for her, I guess. Good for him.
Yeah, you can't tell if it's good for.
I mean, who knows?
At that point, it's like, is the age gap, I don't know. Once
I mean,
the
he
woman
is like
40,
87 years old.
Sure.
No, I think it's fine.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm not.
She's
having fun. Not,
well, when
maybe she can lock it down before he croaks.
When
you know?
The ink dries on De Niro's divorce papers, you know I'm out here in these streets. He's gonna be looking for another black woman.
I know.
I'm gonna be there.
Wait, but you know that Leo is dating his daughter from his stepdaughter. The Leo's current girlfriend.
Yes.
Is Pacino's stepdaughter from his previous marriage.
I did know this.
Camila Morone.
Yes. And she's a model and aspiring actress as well.
Yeah, 25. Cool 25.
And 25. Yeah. And that part is also important to note.
That is old for Leo.
Yeah,
she
we'll
really,
see if,
she's
if
like,
she makes 26, it's going to be
huge.
His oldest girlfriend.
It's
that's
a 27
huge.
Club. Tying it back.
When was the last time he dated someone who was over 26?
No, he hasn't.
He
25
hasn't.
Is
Ever?
The mark. That's what I'm saying.
It's the cutoff.
That's the mark. Gisele Bündchen was 25 when they broke up, and he that never moved even past feel right. 25. Somebody did a chart.
Someone did a chart.
And you know, I trust when I see a chart. That's Bible to me. If you put it in a graph form for me, and there's points, and they're being connected by a line, woo.
Damn, someone could have sold you like a loan in 2008. So easy.
Someone did, Olivia. Someone did, and I am in financial ruin. I just like charts. I just say yes to whatever. Dr. Neymark, hit me up with a chart.
Hit me up with a chart about my teeth.
Ooh. Teeth are also a kind of chart.
They're the chart of the mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a chart of the mouth. Connected by a line.
New Yorker, baby.
That's what they pay me the big bucks for.
Do you have like a Jim Morrison, like a Doors album or like a song that really like sticks with you?
I mean, there are several.
Go off.
off you go.
I mean, one thing I always think about is how in the Doors hit Touch Me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He sounds like Sinatra. He's like a real, like, you know, like Vegas, like 1962, like the whatever Sands Hotel, like crooner, which is always kind of weirdly spoken to me. It's sort of like old school. There's like a band.
That's cool.
An orchestra. So that's one thing I always enjoy listening to. I do like I haven't listened to it in years and years. There was also the Spoken Word album in American Prayer.
I was going to ask how you felt about Spoken Word. When we got drinks.
Yes. Did I say something about it?
We got drinks at, shout out New York, Ray's.
We went to Ray's.
At Justin Theroux's bar. / Nicholas Braun. Erase him.
Thank you.
No cousin Greg Erasure.
Their co-owned bar, Ray's. They were playing an American Prayer.
Oh.
They were playing an American
Prayer.
Yes.
Wait a minute. They were playing Jim Morrison's Spoken Word album at Justin Theroux's bar.
And Nick Braun.
That like makes so much sense to me, but it's also so gross.
Oh, it's so funny though. It's kind of perfect.
That is what I imagine. I'm sure Justin is curating that playlist. And he's like
hands-on. Yeah, very hands-on business. You can feel it.
Well, I feel like Justin is also a kind of, if you will, a descendant of Jim.
Oh.
Like the letters, you know,
yeah.
The bad boy.
I think he like wants to be.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the thing. Okay. Here we're getting somewhere. The thing about Jim Morrison.
Yes.
Is that he is perfect for the teenage mind. Mm-hmm. You know, my teenage mind, many other teenage minds.
Yes.
Because he is like a classic. Like it makes you think, you understand it. And you're like, this is really deep. You know, and it's like a little embarrassing, but you're not embarrassed because you think it's like, you know, it's meaningful.
Like raw truth.
It's raw truth. It's poetry. Yes. It's theater. It's
a white man doing spoken word.
And it's also like
it's a white man doing spoken word.
There's that thing of like, oh, I found this thing. Yeah. It speaks to me.
Yes.
And it's like this is what culture is
and no one else knows. I also think, you know, probably an aspect of like, then he dies, and there's also then this myth that gets created on top of that about,
of
like,
course,
you know,
what
life
could have been,
and youth, and what could have been, and sexuality,
like,
this time that, you know, will never be.
It was the 60s.
Recaptured, you know?
You know, for me, when Jim died, it was the end of the 60s. I mean, it was literally the end of the 60s.
It was, yeah.
But
it also spared us from seeing old Jim Morrison, which, like,
I mean, it's kind of amazing because he really went downhill fast.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he was, like, obviously an alcoholic, you know, abused drugs.
Yeah.
He got, you know, he was a svelte young thing in his early years. And then as time went on, he you know, he put on some sort of drinking pounds and he grew that beard and stuff. And it's kind of crazy because I remember I used to look at that and be like, oh, wow, like he's really old. Like he had that beard and he looked like lumbering, you know, he had like a limp or something. I don't know if he had a limp, but he was like,
but
you know,
he carried himself.
Yeah, he was like, he wore like Mexican shirt, you know, much like my Guatemalan woven tunic.
The connection only grows.
It's a tunic.
Confirm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Firm tunic.
Yeah. Okay. So, but in retrospect, he was fucking 27 when he died. Like, that's just crazy. Imagine if he had lived for even five more years, yeah. what we would have seen. You know, like the horrors.
Like Elvis level horrors.
Yeah.
If that wasn't already reached. Yeah. We got like old videos of Elvis, just like there's that video of his last performance in Vegas, and there are like three cups of Coke on the piano as he's like sweating and heaving.
He's so sweaty.
Like it's brutal. It's like brutality to his body to make him finish this song, and his voice is beautiful and pure and like really fraught, but he is having
suffering.
A hard time. He is really suffering. Really hard.
And he wasn't old either, you know. I mean, it's not, he just like I recently read a fascinating book from, I think it was like published like maybe 5 years after he died, or like maybe in the mid 80s, so a little later, The Last 24 Hours of Elvis's Life, reported by Albert Goldman. It's like a really trashy, like it's, you know, it's absolutely sensationalistic.
Is it the book by his former bodyguard?
No, but the bodyguard speak. There's information from the bodyguard there.
Yes.
And it's just like what that man put his body through was it was not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so Jim, you know, he left at the right time.
27, baby.
27,
God's age, hot age. Yeah, they never,
I don't know why.
Did an autopsy on his body.
Because he died en France. En français.
Yes. And some say he is still alive.
Oh, like Tupac.
Exactly. Like Tupac.
Oh, like Tupac.
Like Tupac.
Oh, Tupac.
They're
Tupac.
In the jungles of Brazil together.
Keeping ghost.
Weaving. They're weaving together, actually, and they're making
the Guatemalan tunics.
They're
that
weaving and they're sending
thing.
Him to Guatemala. Yeah. They're actually made in Brazil. exported and sold in
Why
Guatemala.
Do some people say he's still alive? Is it just like,
I mean, it's just like, one of those, I mean, yeah. I don't know if people now say he's still alive, although probably there's some kooks who say it, but definitely like the first like 20 years after he died, people were like, he was spotted, you know, Jim Morrison was spotted in a supermarket and like Tarzana or something, you know, just like, oh, he was like a friend of mine was like hiking in like Machu Picchu and he saw a man who looked like, you know, just these sightings. And
just
it's
like if you see an old white guy in a beard,
you'd be like,
doing spoken word. Doing spoken word.
As old white men in beards are wont to do.
Yeah. Listen, it's all about sex and death.
Have you
slept with Jim Morrison?
Have you slept with Jim Morrison after he was sighted in Tarzan? Have you been to his grave?
I have.
In Paris. Have you?
Yeah, I've been to that graveyard. I don't think I found his grave.
Mm.
It's like a huge graveyard. Andrew?
Bless you, Andrew. Andrew, have you been to his grave?
No, I've never been.
Oh.
I dragged my parents to that grave. Again, this was like when I think I was 14. This was before the movie was released. So yeah, I was 14. My parents took me to, I mean, we went to spend a year in the States. I was like kicking and screaming, didn't want to go, like didn't want to leave all my friends, like totally tragic, didn't know anyone, like where we were going. And on the way, they were like, let's do a week in Paris, you know, sort of trying to like play. And I was like, ugh, I don't care, you know, whatever. But the only thing, it was horrible.
No, you're
like,
14.
I was like, it was terrible. But the only thing I cared about was I was like, let's go to Père Lachaise and like go to Morrison's grave. And they're like, oh, my God. And they're like, I mean, you know, like a lot of people obviously are like Oscar Wilde is buried there and like Chopin. Yeah. And,
so
you
is
know.
This woman whose gravestone looks like her dog. I think about her a lot. Just looks like her dog.
I don't know who that is.
She's nobody. She's just a woman.
It's just like a grave you saw at Père Lachaise.
And I was like, this is the best grave here. It looks exactly like her dog. Why isn't everyone freaking out?
Is Oscar Wilde the one where people put on lipstick
and
kiss
it? Yeah.
That's the one I remember.
But it's surrounded by glass now, I think.
They're still kissing it.
People kiss the glass.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't care about any of that. I was like, get me to the Lizard King's grave. And then I went to the grave and there were like a few people standing there like sort of like burnout like losers much like myself, but like maybe older, a little older, so I was less of a burnout. I was a child,
like probably people who you though were like, oh, you actually listen to his music and like.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, these are cool people. You know.
And your parents are like.
My parents are like, oh, my God. They're like tapping their foot. You know, they're like, ugh. And yeah, but then I got there and I didn't really know what to do. It's also embarrassing. You're like with your parents.
And it's also like, what do you do? And then what do you do at the grave? Of a famous person?
Yeah. Like I was like, am I supposed to like cry? Yeah. I felt the pressure of the moment and nothing really came.
I went there and a woman was crying. And I remember people were crying. Though, but it was like.
I'm like 15
or something. I was like, oh, people are still. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the legend lives on. Mm. Let's face it. I think the thing I got most out of it is that in retrospect, I think it was partly responsible, I think, for igniting my interest in like trashy rock biographies and just like, you know, reading from the most like, you know, mainstream, like No One Here Gets Out Alive, which is like the, you know, the sort of main like biography, I guess, probably the most famous of Morrison.
Yeah.
To just like the most like random, like a roadie who was who like saw him once, right? Yeah. It's his true tip. And I just love that shit. Like it's the more marginal, the better. It's just so good to me.
Do you feel like that there's like a. This question might not be articulated well, but here we go.
Did you have sex with Jim Morrison?
Did you? That's what Jim Morrison in Paris. Tell us. And were your parents okay with it? No. Do you think that sort of like opened up a window into the things that interest you about culture? Because like the way you write and what you write has such a connected like. Through line of that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because when I was going on the New Yorker website so I could find the Shouts and Murmurs that I wrote about Jim Morrison so I could send it to you
before. Yes. I'm out of articles this month.
so this was like a humor piece that I wrote about where Jim Morrison is doing like a Into the Gloss Top Shelf and it's about like his beauty routine. It's a bit pretty funny if I do say so myself. but I Googled like Nomi Fry, Jim Morrison, you know, on the New Yorker website so I could find it quickly. And like three pieces came up and I was like, I've only been at the New Yorker a couple of years and it's like I've mentioned Jim Morrison in three separate pieces. Yeah. And it's like, okay, this is a problem. I need to like watch this because it's such a touchstone for me of like this sort of like cultural kind of stupidity, but also that something that opens up. Like there's a lot of like, I find that there's something like really interesting about, you know, sort of like represent like popular representations of counterculture, like when you're young and you're like, oh, things could be different. I'm different. I'm like that, you know? And even if later you realize that, you know, that thing is like totally flawed and like maybe embarrassing, stupid, like the spoken word thing is not as deep as you thought. The fact that like he went as a poet by James Douglas Morrison as opposed to Jim Morrison, you know, it's just like all amazing, like stupid things, you know? But, and like, you know, maybe there are like more interesting things than like Rimbaud and like Artaud or something, you know, just like the most like, but it's still like opens, you know, you can start reading from that or you can start being interested in culture in a different way than you might have otherwise if you were just exposed to the things that like were even more mainstream, I guess, or even didn't try to be a little bit rebellious.
Yeah.
So even though it's like, you know, it's like completely flawed and like in retrospect kind of funny, I think it's like it was very important to my development of like everything that's important to me about culture.
I think a lot about myself, like caring a lot about the Talking Heads in high school.
It's really important.
And my parents, who are like two black immigrants, are like, what is going on? Like, this
my
is
parents
not...
were freaked out too. Like, I remember
watching me watch this like lanky white man just like, you know, move like herky jerky and he's like, why are you connecting with
this? I was like a 12-year-old who was really into Green Day. And I was like, this is fucking sick as shit. And
the wallet
like,
chain.
Yeah. And it like
you've the seen pictures chain. Of me with eyeliner cake on my bottom.
But it does like lead you down the rabbit hole of like, so what does actual punk music sound like? And then you're like, oh, like, I don't know, I can listen to like Fugazi if I want to. And like find like cool things that are actually like cool.
Fugazi.
DC natives, Arlington natives.
Actually cool.
Also Jim Morrison, Northern Virginia icon.
Wow.
That's true.
So this is your fault.
So this is my fault.
You killed Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
She did it.
Well,
Booker.
You killed Nomi's lover.
Oh. I'll never have a lover like him
like
again.
James.
Like Jim.
Yeah.
Like James Douglas. Well, bang, bang, on the gavel. It's time for the People's Court. Whoa. Hard pivot to a segment. Sorry. Sometimes. Not sometimes, all the time, every single time. Olivia, our judge, our Supreme Court leader, takes us on a journey through the archives of different magazines, sometimes including People, okay? People's Court, all right, sort of that. And we'll read an article about our icon, about Jim Morrison. So, Olivia, what have you dug through this time?
Okay, so obviously, you know, Jim Morrison dies 71. People starts 75.
Okay.
So kind of a crapshoot there. But what we do have is a 1991 cover story of Val Kilmer from Rolling Stone.
Oh, this is good, so, Olivia. This is very good.
I probably read that.
So, like, let's start with this gorgeous lead. Val Kilmer never...
Who wrote this piece?
Let's see.
Bylines are important.
It has like a table full of writers. Jeffrey Ressner.
Okay.
Ring a bell?
No.
Okay.
That's going to be me in the podcast of the future. Be like, Nomi Fry.
Naomi Fry. Your ghost shoots up. It's Nomi.
Val Kilmer never actually met Jim Morrison, but the spirit of the Lizard King spoke to him last year in a dream. Quote, it was a strange feeling, says the actor. He and I were talking, just having a chat. Then all of a sudden, his head turned and I could see his brain, the water in his brain.
Huh?
I could see the booze and he became a dumb, sad drunk. I got a glimpse inside his head at the moment of his transition from an erudite scholar and gentleman from the South into a lunatic, organ-chasing wacko. So that's how it starts.
Oh,
wow.
Whoa. Okay, that's, first of all...
Yeah.
Gentleman erudite scholar
from the South.
From the South. Okay.
Which also, he's from Northern Virginia.
Yeah.
Like Florida. Like, let's not get crazy.
Val,
here.
Sir. Monsieur Kilmer.
Monsieur
Kilmer. Pourquoi?
Val gives good quote.
Val does give good quote. Hold, there's another part where he talks about like.
Wacko.
Oregon chasing.
What does that mean?
I don't see, that's the part that I don't really understand. But he also does say that he basically stalked Oliver Stone. So let's like get to that, where he says, he camped out on Stone's doorstep, followed him to concerts by Doors cover bands, and even put together an audition video with four tunes and a reading of Morrison's poetry.
Oliver Stone's like, get away from me.
Yeah, Oliver Stone is literally like, get away from me. And then he says he went even harder, saying he reportedly burned a mole off his face so he'd look more like Morrison. And when it became time to portray him as an overweight rock god, Kilmer went to De Niro-like lengths to beef up, ballooning to 190 pounds from a low weight of about 155.
There's actually a scene in the movie I often quote it to myself, if not to others, where like Morrison, Val is Morrison, gets fat, and he, as he's getting like wasted on a plane, and he lifts up his shirt, and like a friend of his says, oh, Morrison, you're like looking, you're getting fat. And he says, what's wrong with being a large mammal?
and
that's something I often find myself saying. What's wrong with being a large mammal? So it's true, he gained a lot of weight.
He gained a lot of weight.
Yes.
The last thing I will note from this is that it did tell me that in Kilmer's early stage, he was in an off-Broadway show called Slab Boys with Sean Penn.
Wow.
And a Tudor punk production of Hamlet.
Who put that together?
It was the 80s in New York. You could do whatever you want on the stage. You can tread those boards however you want.
Yuppies, the East Village,
what a
Madonna
time.
And David Mamet's Speed the Plow.
Exactly.
Wow. I mean, it was everything.
Basquiat's ripping through these streets.
Ripping through these streets, yes.
And then he says that he wants to do, he was trying to leverage the Doors movie into an album. Val Kilmer clearly just cuckoo from start to finish.
A man of higher thought, really.
Soup to nuts, insane. Did you guys know that Andrew Cuomo's Man Cave features a big poster of Jim Morrison's mugshot?
That absolutely sucks.
Wow.
That absolutely sucks.
That was actually like the mugshot. The mugshot is when in 1969 when he was arrested in Miami for exposing himself on stage. And then it was a very, like, the mugshot it was superimposed on a wanted poster. And the poster said, wanted in the county of Dade. And it was, like, a very, like, saw that shit.
Dade County, baby.
You saw that shit in
a
lot of places.
This is the one from his New Haven arrest.
Oh, the New Haven arrest.
Inciting a riot. But Nomi, can you describe Andrew Cuomo's man cave just from this image?
Well, he has two treadmills side by side, perhaps his and hers. So I don't know if that's
one for Sara Lee.
No, they're selling this house. That's how this information is publicly available.
It used to be for Sara Lee.
Yes,
but it's weird. So she comes into the man cave.
Yeah, just to work out.
But it seems, I guess there's a full mirror. There's like a mirrored wall. So what happens is that the mugshot is sort of reflected infinitely.
It's kind of stunning.
Which is stunning. Is that like the old hog skin?
Yes. Yeah, that is the old hog skin. There is some kind of like memorabilia football thing.
Wow.
There's also like weights and like a desk, which is confusing to me.
Andrew's a real man.
He is a real man.
Because, you know,
one Italian man.
One thing about Jim Morrison is that he was a real man. He was an organ chasing lunatic.
Yeah. Wacko. Wacko.
Yeah. Whatever that means.
Organ chasing lunatic.
Dang. Yeah. I wonder what that means.
What does organ chasing mean?
Does it mean that he like chased like boobs? Like, or like butts?
Is that the organ?
Yeah. Or like, you know.
Like sex organs?
Yeah, maybe.
Right, like parts of the female body.
Oh, I love
body.
That then.
Or
I googled organ chasing and there's nothing.
Well,
of course there's nothing.
But the Doors were known for their use of a Wurlitzer organ in their music. Ray Manzarek played the organ.
No, that is too kind of Val Kilmer. That is absolutely too kind of Val Kilmer.
He was an organ chaser.
I think we were closer. I think it was more of a sex thing.
Yeah.
I think we're going to pivot real quick to a little game called Fuck, Marry, Kill that we play. But instead of with people necessarily, we play with aspects of these celebrities, these icons, potential icons' lives.
Okay.
So we're going to pick the three little moments that we can all go around and see if we'd fuck, marry, or kill. Sorry, it's crass. But that's just the way life is.
That is.
Sometimes you're chasing these organs and it gets bleak.
Okay.
So
should we say like having Val Kilmer play you in a biopic?
I think that's great.
Okay.
I think the music.
Sure.
Which includes
the spoken word poetry.
Yes, for better or for worse. And then just sort of like the party lifestyle. And all its highs and all its lows.
Okay.
Okay. So should I say?
Yeah, or maybe his hair.
Oh, hair?
Yes.
Hair kind of like.
He had great hair.
Gorgeous hair.
Yeah.
Gorgeous hair.
I say music hair Val Kilmer.
By the way.
Okay, music hair Val Kilmer.
By the way, he got his first iconic haircut from Jay Sebring, who was murdered in the Sharon Tate murders, played by Emile Hirsch in the new movie. Not murdered in the real movie.
No. Alive and well.
Alive and well and still cutting Jim Morrison's hair.
Damn. And he's gutted by the loss.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay. Well, this is
okay.
Actually,
so wait. So we have
Emile Hirsch looks a lot like him. I felt
like Jay.
Yeah.
Emile Hirsch.
The casting was good.
It's kind of crazy that Emile Hirsch just like popped back up again.
I know.
He bounced back from when he
throttled that woman at Sundance.
He literally throttled her. I mean, it was.
He's like probably a bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, for sure. Well, I think that's why.
Quentin
Tarantino
was
like,
sure, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. I got feet the film of Quentin Tarantino.
Did not throttle a woman once.
It's more like, I got faith to film, hey. Please let me say the N-word. Like that.
I don't think he's like Italian. Like
that. I don't think, no, that, I thought the first one was more Italian. The second one was more just like creepy.
The second one was like Pesci Italian.
I wasn't trying to be Italian. I really wasn't.
I know, but I'm just saying that's what I heard.
There's also two people who are bad at impressions critiquing each other's impressions. So sort of like a gift of this podcast of both me and Olivia being
so
like,
bad.
No. No, you just didn't hear. No, you just sort of like misheard what was good about that.
I'm not even going to try. Hey!
Okay.
Whoa! Should we all do a Quentin impression?
Hey!
Okay. Yeah. Right now he's like, hey, man, listen, I got something to tell you. Hey, brother. Hey.
It's like, I think there's like a clip to it. So it's like, Brad.
Yeah, yeah.
Come here,
I don't think the
Uma.
The horse voice, I think, is wrong. I think it's more like a quick.
Is it like up?
It's like, not like hey. Up. It's like, hey, come on. What is that?
And that's closer.
Hey, come on. Hey, Uma. Hey, yeah. Listen. I don't want to be on BT. Hey. Lauren Michaels. Tune in. Okay, we got an impression of someone doing something.
Nomi, would you like to try a Quentin Tarantino impression?
No.
Okay,
no,
that's fair.
No.
That's totally fair.
No.
It's all about consent.
So yeah. It was music, hair, Val Kilmer?
Yes.
Okay.
Music, hair, Val Kilmer.
To fuck, to marry, to kill.
Okay, do we all do it?
We're all
going to do it.
Okay. Who wants to start?
Not you, apparently. So.
I'll start.
Okay.
I say we're fucking the hair.
Mm.
Beautiful, like, silky, love it. Marry the music, you know, fake deep, whatever. It's like there's a lot of it also, so it's like, you know,
yeah,
there's
you'll
a lot to
be
dive
bored.
Into yeah
you'll
exactly
never be bored.
Exactly. And then obviously we're killing Val Kilmer. That's just as we learned from the Rolling Stone interview, not a cute look.
Okay.
Aya,
I'm fucking Val Kilmer.
Oh, okay.
Because it was just it's not a good movie, but it was important to me in glimpses. I want to honor that. I also think that would be funny. It would be a funny story.
Sure.
And sometimes sex is a funny story. Then I am killing the hair. I think that I have sometimes, you know, you like talk to white guys about their hair and they're like, oh, I don't put anything in it. I don't wash it with shampoo or conditioner. It just looks like this. And you're like, okay, like, okay, I get that it just looks like this. And they're like, no, seriously, it just looks like that. Like, touch it. Like, feel my hair. It's so soft. And you're like, I'm not doubting that your hair is soft. I respect that your hair looks good. I think that it's weird that you just rinse it with water and you don't,
like a horse.
And you don't, and you're not a horse, you're a man. You are a man and you can use shampoo.
We've talked about this on mic before.
And I'll continue to talk about it again. Because, and it's not even just our mutual friend, someone else did that to me. Actually, a lot of white men recently have done that to
what
me.
Who is telling them not to wash their hair?
And also lotion. They'll just be like, I don't use any lotion.
No,
touch me, I'm soft.
It's like, that's not what it's about.
I'm not talking about it's about the principle of the thing. So I have
it's
to
also
kill
like,
that.
It's touch me, I'm soft. Like, whatever.
So I have to kill that.
Okay.
And I am also marrying the music. I think that in my mind, it might be just more of a marriage of like convenience. There might not be like a deep-seated passion, but sometimes you don't need that to make a marriage.
There's also
work.
Money there. There's royalties
money.
There.
There's money.
That's
and
true.
I think it'd be an open marriage.
Sure.
And that's how I think our marriage would go. Nomi?
I'm going to marry the music, and
yes.
I'm going to go left field here and say that the music is still, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's important to me. I could totally listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, I can find myself listening. Not a lot, but like... I'm like, oh, I actually love The Doors. I love The Doors. I'm a woman in my 40s and I love The Doors.
That's the best sentence in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I just love it. So I'll marry the music. And then with the hair, I guess I'd have to like, I mean, I love Val, but maybe I won't kill him, but I'll kill the concept.
Yes, of course.
I'll kill the concept. And I guess I'd fuck the hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah.
And it was another thing that's historical for me that a man with long hair at the time, the teenage years.
Yes.
That was like a thing.
I get it.
No longer, but at the time.
I respect that. And honestly, I think it might be coming back again.
You think?
Yeah, everything happens in waves.
Are men gonna have long hair again?
I think so, yeah.
Well, men did have long hair, but we we made them put it all in buns. Yeah. I know.
Remember the man bun?
Yes.
So sick.
Traumatic. It was like our freshman year of college. So we were in downtown Manhattan.
Oh my God. NYU was like man bun central.
It was crazy.
It's really fucked up that that happened to us. To our most sensitive years.
It's disgusting.
Not, yeah. It's very like a true lack of regard
yoga
for
instructor.
My safety.
Yeah.
Yoga Maurice, instructor.
The guy.
Yeah.
It was the man bun that like peeked out from under the fedora at a barista. Oy! No,
stop that.
No,
that's my Tarantino.
That's good, and that's good. And that's getting
Lord? Lord,
Lord, Lord, one last.
What if suddenly I get like recruited to SNL?
Okay,
like suddenly I pivot.
I think it would be cool. I think it'd be cool if you replaced like Colin Jost.
We get you on update. Just the weekend update. Yeah. But also nothing. Like, I'm not a writer. I'm not. I just come in. I do the update. And I'm out.
You go home.
Yeah. I'll bring back the Dennis Miller years.
Everyone's favorite era of weekend update.
And simply must close on that. Before we end, we like to just ask the question, will this person endure? And, you know, we try to make a case. So do you know me or does anyone here have any last words about Jim Morrison? I personally... do not.
You don't think he'll endure?
Have any last words?
Oh.
Because I don't really think I grew up with him. Like, yeah. I think I connected him on a certain level.
Yeah, there was one. I have one young friend who, this was a couple of years ago, I mentioned Jim Morrison, and she was like, or maybe it was when I wrote that humor piece, and she was like, I never heard of Jim, like something to that level.
Yes.
And I was like, I gotta teach the children. Like, this is wrong.
This is outreach.
It's outreach.
This is outreach. This
so is good outreach. If I have anything to do with it, yes, Jim Morrison will endure.
Okay. Olivia, any last words and your vote?
I did, when I was like prepping today, have to confirm that Jim Morrison is not Van Morrison,
Lord.
Not Astral Weeks. I was like, Astral Weeks, that's cool. Completely different man.
I mean, Van Morrison actually in the biography, and No One Here Gets Out Alive, Van and Jim spend an evening together. And the hard drinking Irishman gave Jim a run for his money with the alcohol.
That sounds like a play. That sounds like a weird.
Oh my God!
Like,
what a nightmare! Can you
like
imagine
Morrison
what a nightmare?
On Morrison?
It's a weird.
And then Toni Morrison comes in at the
it's
end.
It's a weird Showtime show. Okay, whoa. Okay, she's won a BAFTA. Showtime has these weird, and I found this out because I tried to watch On Becoming God in Central Florida, and then I just was like, you know what's more interesting than that show? Scrolling through the Showtime app, and apparently Showtime every few years will commission these shorts that are based on true. Historical moments. So they have one that's like Andre the Giant meeting like Beckett.
What?
Because
Samuel
yes,
Beckett?
Because apparently when Andre the Giant was a kid, his like school bus went by Samuel Beckett's summer or something psycho. Based, this is a thing that is on Showtime. I'm not responsible for it.
If it's on Showtime, it's true.
I'm just reporting the sort of like the strange horrors. They had one where Jack McBriar was playing, oh my Lord. Jack McBriar plays 15 Seconds of Fame.
Andy Warhol?
Jack McBriar plays Andy Warhol, and Anthony Atamanik is Donald Trump, and they meet. And it's a short. And this isn't my fault. I didn't put this into the universe. Somebody at Showtime.
But you're just saying that we should get the Morrison on Morrison.
And we could play.
Yeah.
I'll play.
Wait, the three of us could do it.
Oh my God.
You be Van, I'll be Jim, and you could be Tony.
Yay! Wow. It works out for everybody.
I'm a hard-drinking Irishman.
I'm Muriel's wedding.
What?
Oh, wait, sorry. Toni Morrison's. Who was I mixing her up with?
Toni Collette.
Oh my God.
Saying I'm Muriel's wedding. I was going to want to cut that, and we will not.
Oh, no.
We will not.
Okay, I have to say, like, I'm just like, I'm busy. So
it's okay.
I'm tired. I'm busy.
She's
it's
an
hard
Australian
to keep multiple
thespian.
Tonys. In your head.
I have
Tony,
a lot of Tonys
Tony,
in my life.
Tony.
And I actually was listening to Anniversary, a song by Tony today.
Do you Full know circle.
Full circle.
I know.
Full circle.
Michelle Obama put Tony on her workout playlist.
That's good.
That's good.
Feels
content.
Good. Feels good? The song?
No.
Another song?
I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember being like, huh, weird. Sandwich between like Cardi B and Beyonce.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to be in the public eye.
It sure is.
Okay, so Olivia, what say you?
My thoughts are like, this is one of those ones we do where it's like the person is dead and has been for a while, and it's like, this is established canon. Yeah. He has like an iconic mugshot. If you have an iconic mugshot, you kind of endure by like,
By proxy of your mugshot being printed on Hot Topic.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Lindsay's gonna endure because she has like a billion iconic mugshots.
Martin Luther King, known for his mugshot.
Exactly. Reese Witherspoon, famous mugshot.
Famous mugshot to me. Nick Nolte.
Famous mugshot.
David Bowie.
Famous mugshot.
My dad. Just kidding. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. but yeah, I think like, you know, I think as long as there are like teenage boys and horny girls who are craving to be alt, Jim Morrison will like kind of endure.
Hit it on the head. Hit it on the heart. I got to agree. I got to say yes. Yeah. I don't think it's also one of those things where it's like, you know, sometimes it's not about my own personal attachment. It's like just like an acknowledgement of like, oh, these are things in the canon. And like, I do know these songs and I do know that it matters. And I think that's cool. And I respect that. And maybe one day, I'll take a dive for myself. Maybe I'll do that.
Maybe one day you'll make love to Jim Morrison.
To Jim Morrison on a cold, snowy mountain that he's hiking
cold,
up alone.
Snowy mountain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Olivia doesn't want me to make love to Jim Morrison on a mountain. She's worried about my safety.
She's jealous.
Who did we used to want you to make love to on a cold snowy mountain?
There was another person. Oh, no, that's bad.
Can we not say?
He's like kind of canceled though.
I know, but it was pre-cancel.
True. Michael Fassbender.
We had a whole
thing. Canceled?
Yeah, kind of. He like put himself in exile.
It's one of those things where it's like, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know. Yeah. Shocking.
He has like a history of like being not great with women.
No.
And then before that, I and I had a lot of fun talking about how.
The movie Shame.
Well, that. And worse. A whole 12 years.
He looks good in it. He looks good in it.
A handsome man.
Okay. He's a handsome man.
No question.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's canon.
Listen. Oop.
Have you guys seen Fish Tank?
Yes. Yes, I have seen canon.
Canon.
I have seen canon and I'll see it again. He is hot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He's got bad proportions.
What do you
and
mean?
And his ass wasn't good.
Gorgeous proportions. Just
has
like,
really
are you
long
referring
torso.
To really? He's like long ass torso.
Oh, you
I love
like
that.
That.
As someone who has a long torso.
You're a long torso.
I am confirmed. Should I get like a shirt that says it?
I will get you that shirt for your birthday.
Cool. Long torso bitch.
Are you a long torso bitch? Do you want a shirt?
I don't even know.
Are you like
I don't
an evenly
so?
Proportioned bitch?
I mean, hardly, but I don't think it's
I don't think it's the torso.
It's not the torso's fault.
I like you saying that that's beautiful. That, like, I really like that.
What?
You just being like, I've got it, so it's beautiful. That's the beauty standard.
It's like, I see myself reflected in Michael Fassbender's long torso.
Thus he is beautiful.
I am the beauty standard.
Mm. You're reclaiming the long torso.
That rocks. Yeah. I really find that gorgeous. I just need you to know.
Kids today are so self-assured.
Are we the kids?
Yeah.
Are we?
I mean, compared to me, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, like, Nina is a kid compared to you. My 8-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
But compared to me, your kids, and the kids are different today.
That fantasy was very extended.
the Michael Fassbender on a mountain.
Yeah.
It ended with me saving you.
Well, yeah. So we foretold something. Basically, the fantasy was he invited me to the snowy Alps.
This was on the pod?
No, this is years in the making.
This is pre-pod.
Oh.
He would invite me and take me away to the mountains.
Why did you need saving?
Well, eventually, what? He, like, fucks you so hard that, like...
that I refuse to remain in contact with my loved ones and everybody's reaching out to me.
Oh, yeah, and I'm like, I have to go save her.
She becomes an organ chaser.
Yeah.
He chases my organs. Yeah. He's chased them to the brink of death, and then Olivia has to save me from my sex-induced
mania.
Very
like D.H. Lawrence.
Huge for me.
Mm.
Yeah, you know I got Miss Chatterley's on the phone, PDF. Okay, that's my canon.
Okay. Love that book.
Well, before we go, we're going to play a quick little game.
Yep.
And this game is called Vroom Vroom. Vroom Vroom is a game that we used to do on our little Friday sessions. But guess what? Fridays are canceled. Here's how the week goes. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. That's the week. And our pod, okay. And our pod comes out maybe still on Wednesdays. Either way.
Yeah, sure.
Friday game, move to a Wednesday. Or whatever day this comes out on. And,
The listeners know.
The listeners know.
Y'all know. Y'all know what day it is. Whatever.
We're all explaining to know me because I'm a good host. So, we take celebrities, right? They're they're people, sure. But they're also capital, they're cash, right?
Right.
And then we gotta help them make their way through this market we call Hollywood.
Yes.
So Olivia
Beautiful
and
Hollywood, California.
Okay, thank exactly. you. So Olivia and I take an actor who is beloved to us.
Yes.
Who we feel has not gotten their due, you know? And who, most importantly, has not gotten an Oscar that they deserve.
Mm.
So Olivia and I work hard to craft a vehicle,
vroom,
for that actor to win an Oscar. And the way we've been playing this game is that Olivia and I will create a movie.
Separately. We're competing now. Now it's a competition.
Yes.
And
yes.
we are pitching you. Our producer.
And I need to choose?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We each get 30 seconds to pitch you on a movie that will win this actor an Oscar, and you have to decide which is an Oscar winner.
Okay.
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 Now, you have the option. If you have an option.
If you want to play, one of us will judge, but.
No, I'd rather.
Okay.
I don't know if I can. I'm very bad at pitching. Pitching is like my, one of my weak spots.
I'm going to add a name.
Okay.
The person that I saw today.
What did you? Oh, I don't think that's okay.
You don't think that's a good one?
I mean, it is, but I don't know if
okay,
we can.
Well, add
it later. So I choose.
Yeah. Yes,
I choose
you can pick
someone.
Anyone on this list.
Okay, it's so clear to me who I'm picking.
Okay,
Zac Efron. Of
I
course.
Knew it. I saw it, and I was like, "This is gonna be it."
My taste is very predictable. Another confused bad boy trying to be good.
Oh wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Last time I went first, Olivia.
Okay.
Would you like to go first?
I would love to go first.
Okay.
Can you give me 30 seconds?
30 seconds on the clock to win Zac Efron. An Oscar begins now.
Okay, Zac Efron. What I'm imagining here is that Zac Efron is on a motorcycle. I think it's maybe the 60s, and that's where I'm starting from. He's like a writer who's like going to find himself, and there's a lot of like Paul Thomas Anderson-esque shots of him riding through the desert, and it's like vignettes of people he meets along the way. So it's a portrait
seconds.
Of America in the 60s, and in the center of it is Zac Efron. And people will get mad at it because it's a white man, but he gives a really good performance in it, and he maybe gets ugly
Time.
For it.
Not
okay.
My best,
but... Okay. No, that's pretty good. Okay. I had a
Ready?
Thought when you
yes.
said that.
Okay.
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 Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Set. Go.
I think Zac Efron needs to be teamed up with an iconic director. So moving on from the Paul Thomas Anderson, I'm going to pick Christopher Nolan for Ooh. Myself. And Christopher Nolan crafts like an intense like psychodrama, like thriller. Like the drama is like really gritty. But it's also like a portrait of Zac Efron getting to give a heartfelt performance. He is trying to solve the mystery of who killed his wife.
Okay. You've got a second. Okay, there you go.
That's it.
I'm really torn. Because on the one hand, I really like a road movie. And when I say like, I mean hate. But also, it's also an iconic American
of course.
Vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
About a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that, I don't know. I'm drawn to the killing the wife
mm-hmm.
aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go with my heart and go with Olivia.
Thank you.
Because both of you did really great. But I think just like the genre, I'm more drawn
okay.
to this.
okay.
To this like clearly horrible movie.
Yeah. Oh, no, this is not a good movie. No, this is by no means a good movie. But I imagine it's like a weak year. And like
it's a week
like...
here. You know what it reminds me of? that horrible movie with Emile Hirsch,
Into the Wild.
Into the Wild, where he like fucking like burns his passport.
Yeah.
And I remember like me and my husband watching it and we keep saying like, I wonder what this movie would be like if it was like an old Hispanic woman. a disabled, like, you know, refugee. Like, it was just so like incredibly blinkered and amazingly blinkered. And I love that because it was like funny and terrible. And I feel like Zach could really shine.
Oh, yeah. Zach could be a star.
It would be like a classic crash situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like a horrible movie where he learns, like he meets an old black man.
Of course, there's a spiritual Negro.
If I could redo it, it would be like a movie where he's like a journalist or something.
Yes.
And he like meets like
an old black man who goes to a restaurant.
And he like tells this man's story.
Yes. Yes, well, yes, yes.
We found the real one.
That's
God
the
damn,
real one.
God.
Yeah. Olivia, I will say we're stronger together. Because I'm going to be honest, we get one, but both of these were weak movies and we are stronger together. And I think that's like the real lesson of this challenge.
Okay. I mean,
just miss us. As a team.
Okay, so maybe...
So we're all winners here.
We're all winners.
We're all winners here.
Maybe how we do it is like we both do one and then we come together and we give the person three options. We can talk off mic
about
this, but...
We can talk about it.
No, I feel like this was an organic process and we came out stronger and then.
Yeah. I think the real lesson, like, this is what Hollywood looks like. Like, it's not hot shots alone in their rooms. It's a people.
It's hot shots together in one room.
In one person's room. In a shared room because they are all roommates. And it is still dark.
We're still pitching.
And Zac Efron falls in love.
Yes.
With Rooney Mara, who's his roommate.
Ooh. We'll talk about it.
I'm imagining Zac Efron, Rooney Mara, like trying to have any kind of
chemistry at all,
and it's just like, both of them firing.
The energy is wrong.
It reminds me of
the energy is wrong.
Teeth smashing into each other.
No, it's like, very bony energy, and most of it is coming from her, but the teeth energy is coming from him. Mm. And it all comes back to teeth at the end of the day, doesn't it?
Oh, folks? We started.
Oh okay. Andrew's obsessed with me. Andrew's in love with me.
I love that.
Thank you.
Essentially the male version of The Help.
Yeah.
Sure.
Men
deserve help too.
Yeah, but about journalism for like pretend journalism also.
He helps. Yeah. He helps.
Speak power.
The man on death row.
Thank you. And he helps.
Is this also not like
society,
the Green Mile?
And he helps his readers. Yeah, it is kind of the Green Mile, kind of like Green Book, kind of like, I don't know.
This is Hollywood, folks.
Hollywood does love when a white person helps a black person.
And if you help more than one black person at the same time, shoot.
And when a black person helps white people, remember the Titans.
Green Book.
Does he help the white people in that?
What do you mean? Oh,
in
people. Well, that's like person. Yeah. I mean, the white guy persona kind of helps him, but it's like he's actually
helping. It's a story of an amazing friendship. You know?
Mm. The color
A friendship is a two-way street.
So true.
That's so true. Well, you're getting freaking advice that you wish you saw on the back of your tea bags, okay? Folks, thank you so much for listening. Nomi, do you have anything you want to plug, even though you are an established writer in The New Yorker and our most accredited guest to date, maybe?
Second New Yorker writer.
Ooh.
Wait, who was the first?
We had Rachel Simon.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We got to get all of them.
What do I want to plug?
David Remnick, come on the pod. Nomi, can you get David Remnick to come on the pod?
I can try.
Okay.
And that's enough for us.
What do I want to plug? I want to plug my, pending membership in the comedy community, as always.
Huge.
As always.
What a plug.
This has been going on for years now. The bit is getting stale, and yet I hammer it into the ground.
I love it.
I want to plug... everybody right now, if you don't follow Diplo, go follow Diplo and tell him on Instagram to follow Nomi Fry back. It's at Fry Nomi Fry.
Comment under Diplo's, like when the beehive goes and like puts bees under someone's Instagram, what should we put under Diplo?
Follow at Fry Nomi Fry.
Yeah, but I think it's also the cowboy hat emoji.
Wouldn't it be the fry emoji?
Oh, that's good. God, Andrew's a genius.
Okay, Andrew's on one today. Okay, we're all stupid and Andrew's saving our asses. Damn. Andrew, you're coming in hot today.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. It's helpful. You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, folks, make sure when you follow Nomi, and she's saying, look at this article I wrote. Me. Read it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and support writers.
Support the arts.
Who are writing interesting, good, thoughtful pieces. And have them on your comedy shows to do a slideshow or something. I don't know. Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you like and share and subscribe. Hit those 5 stars on iTunes. Hit them hard.
It's a 5-star podcast.
It's a 5-star podcast. Yeah, we went down to 4.5 because we had a hiatus.
That's, y'all got mad.
Right? Y'all got mad. Y'all wanted us too much. That's not on us. That, there's a network, okay? That's not on us. Don't punish us. Punish society. Anyway, do it through all legal channels. No downloading into MP3s and selling us on the street in Times Squares, handing out corrupted disc jockey files or whatever.
What if we started doing that, but instead of like Times Square, we went to Dime Square and we handed out CDs of our podcast as like irony?
Well, quirky. Well,
I think it would work.
We got it. Well, this episode.
Okay, we're going to Clandestino.
See you at Clandestino. See you at Dimes. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.